Welcome back. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island changed nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. It's not only fluoridated, it's also Fukushima irradiated, which is good for the economy, because now everybody's got a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb. A very special guest is from Conspiracy This Week. He has a radio show and a YouTube channel and what have you, and his name is David Boyle. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me on, Vinny. Really appreciate it.
Well, you had me on your show, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Actually, we talked for almost 3 hours, like two old ladies, didn't we?
Yeah.
And we really had a good show. I mean, I really appreciated you coming on my show, and I want to reciprocate, and I look forward to it.
Well, here we go then. Could you tell us why you started your radio show, Conspiracy This Week?
Basically, just like you, I mean, I'm involved in finding the truth, right? I mean, that's what anybody is in this movement. Hopefully, that's what they're out for. I know that you're not out for making millions, and somebody else that I really admire is also Jack Blood, and he's not out to make millions on it. There are others that are out to make money, but for myself, I just decided that I've had about 30 years of knowledge, and I thought it was time that I expressed it.
You know, this is actually a problem that a lot of people have. Did you have some kind of a, I don't know, a confidence boost or some kind of event that made you know what, I'm not going to put this off any longer?
Not necessarily. I just, you know, getting on YouTube and seeing so many people that were that had opinions and were broadcasting and stuff, it kind of tweaked my interest and made me want to do something. I mean, shows like yourself, Vinny, I mean, let's face it, you're on 5 days a week, right? So, I mean, you hammer at it every day, and you do a lot of work, which doesn't necessarily get appreciated in the alternative media, and I really commend you for doing it. And somebody like yourself and Jack Blood, you know, I'd have to say were some of the motivating factors for me to get in and do my own show.
And how long has it been running for?
Right now, it's probably about 3.5 to 4 months. I want to do a show that's going to have some call-ins too, like yourself, and have some fabulous guests like you do. But basically, you know, I got started in this stuff when I was about 14 years old, and right now I'm 46. So that's quite a long time, you know, and at 14 years old...
Well, David, we appear to have lost your audio for a second there. You're back, though.
Okay. And basically what I said was that I got started in this stuff when I was 14 years old. And at 14 years old, you really don't want to deal with anything other than maybe sports or girls, right? Let's face it. You know, you don't want a burden of the world on you and having a knowledge of what the hell is actually happening. But I was lucky enough that I had two older brothers who were six years older than myself and in university at the time. And one of them was actually a political science major. So one day he comes home and he has this magazine, this newsletter, and gives it to me to read. And it was the Lyndon LaRouche Executive Intelligence Review. And obviously my first reaction is this guy's a lunatic, you know, like, well, where's he coming from? You know, well, are you calling the Queen a drug dealer? Are you saying Henry Kissinger is a lunatic and Cyrus Vance, Jimmy Carter, all these things are going on in my mind and I'm reading this stuff and I'm saying, this is crazy. You know, this is like UFO stuff. So basically what I ended up doing, you know, I researched it myself a little bit. At the time, obviously, there's no internet available, so you got to go to the library, you got to read some, you know, documents, whether it's Federal Reserve stuff or whatever it is. And then I read actually his book, Dope Inc., and I read another book, None Dare Call It Conspiracy. And that actually woke me up to something obviously was going on that most of the mainstream media we're not reporting on.
Do you feel that you're filling a bit of a gap?
Right now, yes. I mean, in Canada, there are some shows out there, obviously. There's a Good Truth or Movement in Toronto, which is the mecca of Canada. I'm in Montreal, and I know you've had some people in Montreal on your show as well. And I know on American Freedom Radio, you have Truth or Girls, and she's from Montreal. So there is some representation of Montreal, but maybe not a logical side of what's going on. I mean, there are a lot of people who are in the Truth or Movement that sway in and out, and you know, they deal with some things that are not, you know, mainstream. They're not logical. They're a little bit out there kind of stuff. David Icke-ish stuff. So I try to keep my show pretty much straightforward. I don't, you know, not that I'm not interested in the occult and aliens and stuff like that, but I try to get to the root of the cause and what the hell is going on logically. That's the way I try to approach it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's good to have some kind of a baseline by which you interpret the universe, isn't it? Because if you're all just a kind of open slather, and you could be taken anywhere.
Exactly. Well, not that I claim to be an expert on anything, because I'm not. I mean, there are people, you know, that are far more informed than myself. But I try to stick to the stuff that, that you know, I can get a handle on and get a little bit of a conversation going with. I've had people on my show, for example, like Jim Mars, who is, you know, I'm sure you're aware of who Jim Mars is. He's into the occult, but he's also into the JFK stuff, and he's into, you know, the Federal Reserve stuff and things of that nature. I also am going to be interviewing Jim Fetzer right after this program, so he's another guy that you've interviewed.
But I haven't interviewed Jim Mars yet.
Oh, no. He's a fascinating individual.
Hook a brother up, yo.
I will. Actually, I interviewed Bruce Montalvo about 2 weeks ago, who's been on your show as well. And I hooked up Bruce with Jim Mars. Hopefully that's going to work out for him, because Jim is an amazing, amazing guy. I mean, he's written like 7 or 8 books. Primarily, obviously, you know, with the Kennedy assassination and one of the books that was used for the JFK film, right, by Oliver Stone. So I'm sure you're aware of that. But, you know, these are some of the people that I really respect in the Truth or Movement. I don't dig into the occult stuff because I'm not familiar with it. I mean, basically, I've never researched it. I actually have Laura Eisenhower coming on the show this weekend, and that's going to be fascinating for me because I don't, I've never dug into the stuff that she digs into, and I'm really interested to learn, and I'm looking forward to stuff like that.
I do think that that's part of the exciting things. I was recanting last night, I believe, about what it's like when you first start getting into radio and you start to talk to all these really great and amazing people. And it's just like you're flying, man. It's so cool because these people are great people and they have lots of really important and, more to the point, incredibly interesting stuff to say. And suddenly, you know, you're speaking with them.
Right.
How's it affected you?
Well, it's changed my perspective. Like I said, I mean, going back, you know, at 14 years old, you know, you don't want to understand about this stuff, right? I mean, that's not your priority. You know, your priority is to get through high school, you know, maybe, you know, go to university, you know, get a job, the usual stuff, the slave stuff that you've expressed considerably on your show, right? You know, go working for the man, right? And, you know, I mean, it's kind of this whole movement and this whole awakening. You know, you obviously go through different stages, right? You know, when you first start this stuff, you know, obviously you're in denial, right? You don't want to admit that anything is going on that you're not privy of, right? Because that makes you ignorant to yourself, right? So you have an ego thing going on, and you don't want to admit it. So you try to push it away, whatever. And then ultimately, if you have a logical mind, you start to dig in a little bit, and then you realize that, hey, you know, maybe something is going on. then you have, you know, you have this anxiety, you know, you can have this anger, you can have depression, you go through a whole series and slew of emotions that can really drive you nuts, you know? And sometimes you got to back away from it, you know, you got to back away from it a little bit, and you got to be able to get back, you know, to the normalcy of what's going on. It doesn't mean that you have to give up your values and what you've learned, but you have to back away sometimes. And you know, you doing a show 5 days a week, I mean, it's got to be crazy for you sometimes.
Yeah, it's getting a bit tough, especially right about now, to be honest.
What's tough about it?
Oh, it's just a lot of work, man, doing all the editing and all the uploading and all of that kind of stuff, and doing it right after the show, like doing a show every day kind of, it's really draining on your energy to be talking for about 2 hours and really intensely paying attention to something, you know, it's like a marathon. And by the end of it, you're pretty exhausted. And you've got to do all these other things. And, you know, sometimes it gets on top of you and you're just like, oh, man, I need a week off or something like that. I'm about to burn out.
Exactly. Well, I can understand you because I'm starting a website, like I said, which will be conspiracythisweek.com. And just doing the website yourself, I mean, I'm not hiring anybody to do it. I mean, everything that I do is myself, you know. And it's incredible. I mean, it's absolutely incredible the amount of backlog of stuff, the research you got to do, and just the grunt work of every day doing this stuff. Even when you're editing, MP3 files and whatever else, I'm not doing video, and I'm not doing stuff like going out like you do, which I saw recently, and going out to the protest that you had in New Zealand there on your show. I'm not even doing that stuff. I mean, I do have a full-time job, so this is something that I do on my own, at my own expense, you know, just because I want to do it. And actually, I wanted to let your listeners know that, you know, if you have any kind of reservations about who's actually one of the integral people in the movement, I want to give you like a little anecdote, which obviously Vinny is aware of. Last week, I contacted Vinny, but I think it was Thursday, by email. And one of my buddies actually was diagnosed with brain cancer. And, I had contacted Vinny, and I realized that he had somebody on his show whose name is Rick Simpson, who has a documentary called Run for the Cure, for those of you who don't know it. And Vinny was fantastic for me personally, because he sent an email off to Rick. And within 15 minutes of me sending him an email, he sent it off to Rick, and within another 15 minutes, Rick was Skyping me, and I was talking to him on Skype, you know. So what some people don't understand is that, you know, Vinny is a kind-hearted guy, you know, and I really would really stress that people go to his website and donate, because he's doing this, you know, on his own dime. And some people don't know the things that he does behind the scenes and the respect that he gets from the people in the Truther movement. So, you know, I really commend Vinny for what he does. And just on the air, I want to thank him for giving me that contact. And actually, Rick, the next night, agreed to be on my show. So we have a 2-hour interview on Blog Talk that I just posted, Conspiracy This Week, with Rick Simpson, talking about hemp oil and cure for cancer. So once again, thanks a lot, Vinny. Really appreciate it.
Well, you know, it's amazing what you can accomplish when you just hook two people up together. And it's like in business networking, They tell you that networking isn't just about you meeting people. It's also about you introducing other people to people that they might be able to get along and do something with. Exactly. And what's interesting is, like, you'll call up some of the media outlets here and you'll ask for the name and the contact details of a certain guest that they had on one of their programs. And they say, sorry, we don't share that information with the competition. I think that's just being a douche.
Right.
That's, you know, what's the worst that's going to happen?
They could say no. Right? Exactly. I mean, like, come on. You know, I mean, it's incredible when you think about it. You know, I mean, some people that I've contacted, I never got a response from. And Vinny, you were one of the first that that got back to me. And I know you're a big fan of Jack Blood as well, who I interviewed on my show as well, and you've interviewed. And he was very adamant and straightforward and right away, and yes, man, I'll do it, you know. So people like you and Jack Blood, you know, are people that should be, you know, like on the level of an Alex Jones, you know, in my opinion, you know. But, you know, you stay true to your principles and you don't sell out, right? And, you know, people like you are, you're not a dime a dozen, right? That's what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say that I really appreciate what you did. And my buddy actually went last Monday and had his brain cancer surgery. They removed 37 lesions, which is incredible. And I'm working hard because this guy is somebody who actually works in a hospital. And, you know,
Have you been in contact with Dr. Bob Melamed?
No, I haven't.
Okay, because he's associated with Rick Simpson. He does the hemp oil as well. Right. And he sent me pictures of a guy who had massive lesions, like one the size of a softball growing out of his skull. And the surgery that they were going to do, they were going to cut off frickin' half his head, right? And they applied the hemp oil to these giant lesions, multiple ones of them, and they got smaller and smaller and smaller, and now the only thing you can see is maybe a tiny little bit of a crater underneath very fresh baby skin on the top of this guy's head.
Incredible. Well, I wasn't able to convince my friend not to have the surgery. Like I said, I was trying to say he works in a hospital, so he works with doctors every day. But he does have to do radiation, which I'm trying to get him to not do, because he's already been through cancer once. So the survival rate second time around is not very good, right? So I'm trying to get him to do the hemp oil, at least to avoid the radiation part of it. But, you know as well as I do, Vinny, that people who are brainwashed every day with the media.
People are afraid to try new things at the best of times, especially things that they've been brought up with their entire life, to demonize an attack and say that it's crackpot and not believe it, until the point goes where they eventually die because they just don't want to do the research, they don't want to listen. And this happened to my father as well. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. And David, I wanted to say something, because I really appreciate you, basically how much you appreciate the show and what I do here. And I was just thinking about it, because every single time that I've asked the listeners to donate, like if I'm in a jam, like if I've got a piece of equipment that needs replaced, or I need to move house and need so much rent in advance, or my car breaks down and I need a new one, or anything that I need, when I ask the listeners, they give it to me. And in some cases, pretty substantial gifts. And it was occurring to me just how much people really love the show, and how much of a difference that I'm actually making, that somebody would even want to do that for me. And my mate Dan was asking me last night, is it weird, Vinny, you know, to have fans and things like that? And I was just like, well, nah, bro. The fans are people just like me, you know, honest, genuine, generous people. So you just talk to them, and suddenly it's not weird anymore because you get to know that there's people like me everywhere, just not in the same circumstance.
Right. But you don't find that in corporate America or corporate Canada or corporate New Zealand, right? I mean, it's every man for themselves, right? And, you know, I know a lot, well, not a lot, but enough about your show and how you've been somebody who has a reputation of being a true guy, you know, just, you know, a guy next door. You know, you do your stuff and people appreciate what you do. And somebody like yourself, you know, you have to be on the radio. I mean, let's face it. You're not somebody that, like I said before, that's going out and trying to be Alex Jones, right? I mean, I know that probably Alex Jones, when we spoke in our interview, you said that probably Alex Jones was the one who pushed you to get on the radio. I listened to Alex Jones for probably 10 years. But he never pushed me to be on the radio myself. And like I said before, it was people like yourself and Jack Blood that actually pushed me on because I wanted to do something that was legitimate, you know, something that is, it's truthful. It's not something that I'm not trying to make money at it. You know, I'm not trying to be the next Howard Stern, like an Alex Jones. I just want to get a message across. And I think I personally think that I have something valid to say. And that's why I've done it. And I think that's why you're in it as well, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you've got something valid to say and then you've got a platform to say it, it makes you feel validated, incidentally.
Exactly. And we don't know how long we're going to have this platform, right? Obviously, with SIPA and Obama going nuts and trying to regulate the internet, which basically regulates free speech, you know? So how long
that CISPA legislation got passed during the Boston bombings while everybody was distracted with that?
Exactly. Well, I was listening to your show before and you had Suzanne Posel on it. And obviously, I mean, everybody who knows that's in this movement knows that there's something fishy about what the hell went on with Boston Marathon, right? I mean, you don't have to be a genius.
My mate was telling me last night, how freaking convenient is it that around the same time as this Boston bombing, they find some alleged 9/11 plane parts in New York.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, I mean, let's face it, you got to be asleep to think that the people that are running the government, basically the Goldman Sachs, you know, the Rothschilds, Rockefellers, all these people, Queen of England, the oligarchy and all that stuff, are the same people that run the media. You know, they're the same people that are the largest contributors to the presidential campaigns in the U.S. I mean, if you want to talk conspiracy, it's right in front of you. You don't have to be a genius to figure that out, right?
Yep, that's why I found it's really fun to have conversations with other truthers, because it doesn't matter what you're talking about, it all ties in, and you click, you get each other, and before you know it, you've had a 3 or 4 hour conversation.
Exactly. When I had Jim Mars on my show there, I mean, I basically asked him his definition of conspiracy, and he told me everything is a conspiracy. Doesn't matter what you do. I mean, anytime you got two people together, no matter what they're trying to do, whether it's going to a movie, you know, in a business meeting, on a conversation in business, two chums just banging it out at night, just trying to figure out, you know, talking about sports or whatever, or talking about their buddies and their mates, it's a conspiracy. So everything is a conspiracy. But what ends up happening is that the media and the, you know, they've put such a spin on the word conspiracy that we think conspiracy is Lee Harvey Oswald and a lone nut. You know, that's immediately what comes to mind, right?
Yeah, and that's what's quite funny as well, is you get demonized and you get called a conspiracy theorist when you read somebody a headline out of Reuters.
Right.
And the term's been so demonized that even conspiracy theorists don't like to use the word conspiracy because they think that it makes people see them as conspiracy theorists.
Right. So maybe I shouldn't have called my show Conspiracy This Week, right?
You know, I don't know about you, bro, but I'm a fan of taking something that has a very bad connotation and mixing it up and bringing back a good connotation to it. I think Conspiracy This Week is a great name for a radio show. It sounds very official because everybody's now talking about conspiracy. It's the new hip thing.
Exactly. Well, that's, you know, like I said before, everything is a conspiracy. So it doesn't matter. You have to admit it, right? But as the U.S. government puts out, it's not a conspiracy. You know, when you're talking about 9/11, that whatever it was, 19 fundamentalist lunatics, you know, were able to bypass a $40 billion defense system and simultaneously smash planes into buildings and, you know, all while taking, you know, orders from a guy on dialysis in a cave, you know. But that's not a conspiracy, right?
A guy who was already dead.
Allegedly, like our buddy says.
Oh, allegedly, you know, I mean, dude, you got your Mac laptop and you've got, you know, no freaking heartbeat. How much of a dangerous person could you possibly be, you know?
even at 6 foot five or whatever the hell he was there, I mean, obviously, if you're pulling, you know, you're pulling this gurney or whatever the hell it is along with you with with dialysis there, and, you know, with one hand free and you're trying to, you know, like, give commands
Maybe it's like in Minority Report, you know, like they've got Osama bin Laden hooked up in the milk and stuff like that with electrodes on his dead skull.
It could very well be. I don't know. I mean, it just seems so far-fetched. But it's amazing that the mainstream media has been able to push this on people. And even though there is a movement and, you know, you see polls that are out there that you know, a lot of people, you know, 50% of people believe, or whatever it is, that 9/11 was an inside job. You still, when you go, you know, the average person, you know, if you talk about something like this at work, you know, or at a dinner party, or with friends over, at a wedding, whatever, what ends up happening? These people think you're nuts. You know?
Wait a second. Something just occurred to me, bro. 9/11 is the new JFK. It's been more than 10 years, right? And nothing exactly. Been done about it. And people, yeah. and most people believe it's an inside job, but still ain't nothing going to be done about it, right? Ever.
Exactly. Well, we're like 75 years is the time to release, I think, basically everything on the JFK. So we're still about, 25 years. It's coming up on the 50th anniversary. So we're still 25 years away from not knowing the truth.
You know, it just occurs to me that you can really, really dupe people for a very long time just into an action by just muddying the waters a little bit. You know, a little bit of propaganda there, a little bit of scare tactics over there, a little bit of Sunday football over there, and hey, presto, you got a population that really doesn't give a frack that they're being governed by completely ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbags.
Right. We have a show in Canada, and it's called the Rick Mercer Show, and it's absolutely hilarious because what he's done is he's created this show where he goes into the U.S., okay? And I'm not U.S. bashing. That's not my game. But he goes into the U.S. It could be somebody from the U.S. coming into Canada would be the same exact result. And he asks these people the most ridiculous questions that everybody should know. And most people don't know. They can't name their governor. They can't name the Prime Minister of Canada. They can't name their local representative. You know, and these are blatant questions. So it just goes to show you what we're up against when we're trying to educate people. It's incredible.
Well, here's the interesting thing, and we brought this up last time in the conversation as well. How many people are awake today that weren't awake yesterday? And think about, say, I heard some statistics being read off that people who are aware that the Federal Reserve was private, say, in the mid-90s, it was like 5-8%, and now it's like over 80%. Mm. You know, we're experiencing like a real sea change. The problem is, unless you're out in it and you're actually seeing it happen, and unless it's, you know, reported or whatever, people are always confused as to how much people are waking up or how much is going on. And I see all the signs being incredibly encouraging. I see the real bad tyranny stuff that goes on all over the place with CISPA and this massive police state operation in Boston as a terribly good thing, because all of those bad things that the government does actually wake people up. And Rolling Stone magazine has just released an article saying that the conspiracy theorists were right all along. And here it is. New World Order.
Right. But how long are we going to be able to do this, Vinny, though? I mean, let's face it.
Hey, as long as we freaking can. And even when the internet gets shut down, we get our website censored. Hey, mate, even in communist Russia, they used to do carbon copies and things like that. And print media became really big in the underground. You know, just switch venues, just like the Nazis did in World War II, and then they moved to America.
Project Paperclip. We know about
that.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, you know, it's fascinating, though, when you look at what is actually going on, and you look at the amount of people that are aware of it and becoming aware of it. I mean, the internet, I don't think the people that, you know, obviously the internet was created, from what I understand, as a military device, right? I don't think they thought that one day you and I would be able to talk, you know, across, you know, I don't know how many miles away we are, but we're pretty far apart, and do a show exactly against what they believe in. Is that fair?
Technology is a double-edged sword at the best of times, mate. Doesn't matter how bad a purpose you've got for a device, or how good a purpose. It can always be used to other ends, can it? Just by somebody manipulating it and using it in a different way.
Right. Well, we do know. I don't know what the laws are in New Zealand, and even in Canada, they're a little bit hush hush about it. But we all know about Google, right? I mean, Google is there to spy on people, right? I mean, there's no way in the world that this company would have been able to do what they're able to do now. And launch satellites. I mean, we're talking billions of dollars in investment. You know, it's impossible that they were able to do this without some kind of government intervention. That's my belief, anyway. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, didn't China kick out Google and accuse them of spying on them?
Yeah, exactly. Because we know that Facebook is you know, has been taken over on some levels by the government. You know,
DARPA.
Exactly. I mean, there's been programs that are out there for the last 50 years. I mean, you can talk about HARP, you can talk about the Storm Furry project, you can talk about chemtrails, which I know you're big on, and I've seen some videos that you've produced about that. I mean, it's incredible when you look at it that all these things are out there for people to see, but they just don't see it.
Well, in a lot of cases, you might be right, but my point has always been that the masses don't matter. And statistically, throughout history, whenever it comes to a revolution, whether it's a positive revolution or some kind of a tyrannical coup, at most there's only a few percent of the general population involved. 95% of people sit on the sidelines and just take whatever punishment comes their way.
Exactly.
That means that a very small amount of well-organized, incredibly dedicated and decent people can overthrow a bunch of ruthless criminal sociopathic scumbaggery and instill a government that will actually stand the test of time, that will protect people's rights and liberties for as long as humanly possible. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's a final segment here with David Boyle from Conspiracy This Week. You can find him on YouTube, and eventually you'll be able to find him on the web at conspiracythisweek.com. but not this week. Probably like in a couple of weeks' time, they'll have the conspiracy this week. It, I don't know where I was going with that. Anyway.
One of these weeks.
Now, is the delay in the getting up of the website a conspiracy? According to Jim Mars, yes.
Well, you know what? I'm by myself doing it, so technically it's not a conspiracy.
Well, see, and it just shows that even though you've got a full-time job, you can still contribute to the frickin' truth movement. Isn't that interesting?
Exactly. Well, it is a lot of work, and you have to be passionate about it, and you have to have people supporting you. Obviously, your family, you know.
Do you watch less TV and play less computer games now?
I don't watch very much TV, actually. I mean, I shied away from that, I don't know how many years ago, you know, because it's all propaganda. I mean, no matter what you listen to and what you watch there, I mean, TV shows, movies, news, no matter what it is, as a truther, you can read between the lines when you watch it, right? You can see what's there and what you're told to believe, right?
See, I don't call it watching TV. I call it monitoring enemy communique.
Exactly. Well, you know what? It's unfortunate that there are still people who, you know, watch American Idol and watch The Voice and watch 19 hours on Sunday of American football, and they're just clueless. And then they want to regurgitate it on Monday morning, you know?
That just sent shivers down my spine. Could you say that again? Did you say the words 19 hours of football on Sunday?
I'm talking American football, not your football. You're probably football is soccer, right? I would think.
No, we call soccer. I think it's just the Englishmen who call it football.
So you are free from England.
Nobody's free from England, son.
We're both Commonwealthers, so it's incredible that we're talking today, and we actually know. And that's the difference between us and Americans, because Americans actually believe they're free. That's the incredible point of it, you know. And the only way to control America is by finance, right? I mean, let's face it. If you control the money, you control whatever you want, right? As Rothschild said 200 years ago. You know?
Well, they do say that the sun never sets on Britannia's holdings, and I'd be inclined to agree.
Exactly. Well, you have a governor general, right? Like we do?
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. And our governor general basically meets or communicates either directly with the queen or with one of her stooges there once a week, you know, probably as you do, and gets dictated what is going to be law, you know. What's going to happen? Where are you going to go? You know, it's incredible that, you know, the British Empire is not dead and people actually believe it is. It's just
it hasn't been the British Empire for a long time. Like, I think what happened is the British monarchy and corporate scumbags like the Dutch East India Trading Company kind of decided that they would be much better off conquering the world if they worked together, masquerading one part as the loving, affectionate, freedom, democracy-giving government, and on the other hand as the ruthless corporation, which basically takes slaves and all the resources that they can, and then they just divvy the booty up amongst them, and nothing's changed.
Exactly. I mean, these are the same people that forced opium on the Chinese, right? The two opium wars that maybe some of your listeners don't remember or haven't researched. But, you know, when you're dealing with oligarchies and monarchies and empires, these people never relinquish their power, right? They don't want to be out of power. So the easiest thing for them to do is to go back and you know, take a back seat to things and have some minions do their dirty work and just to reap the benefits. I mean, that's basically what we're seeing now. I mean, everybody who's pushing, don't kid yourself. You know, the Bank of London is the major bank in the world. don't kid yourself. It's not New York. It's not Wall Street. That's the bank that dictates, in my opinion, anyways, everything that goes on in the world. Everything that goes on in the world. What do you think?
I don't know. What I was just thinking about is how people know the Fed's private now, kind of thing, and how lots of people are waking up. And you mentioned before about how long we're going to be able to do this. I was just thinking, if you're like somebody who likes to keep a lid on things, and you know those control freak kind of people, how they kind of panic and go crazy as soon as things get out of their hands.
Mm-hmm.
And they start getting aggressive. Yeah. I can just imagine these people sitting there, analysts pouring through all these different shows that are popping up all over the place, all these immensely popular YouTube channels, and the explosion of the new media coming out of their ears, just biting their fingers off with tension, freaking out, totally going nuts.
Do you think we're on the radar?
I think everybody's automatically on the radar by default. Whether or not you're the focus is a different question, because I think everybody's under a general form of surveillance and data mining, but it's only once you cause an actual problem for them that they actually come after you.
Right. Well, obviously, I mean, you used to listen to Alex Jones, and obviously we know that he's probably the most prominent person in the alternative media, right? George Norrie is another one. He's on the radar for sure. Do we know that what he's doing is legitimate? I don't know. The jury's out on that. Has he woken a lot of people up, like you said in our interview last month? Yes, he woke you up. So the fact that you are on the radio today is a testament to what Alex Jones is doing. He wasn't somebody who influenced me, because I was influenced long before Alex Jones even existed.
And the person who gave me this radio show used to produce Alex Jones.
Exactly. Exactly. So there is some, even all of the bashing that he's taken, there is some relevance to it. I mean, it does produce people like yourself. You're not an Alex Jones. You're not striving to be an Alex Jones. But you're relevant, and there is a market for people like you and me, above and beyond what he does, because he has the big sponsors and everything else. But he has pushed people to another level, right? Let's face it.
And you were single-handedly.
Exactly. You were talking earlier. I was listening to your show earlier, and one of his prodigies, whatever you want to call it, Dan Bedondi, was actually the heckler that you were talking about with Suzanne Pozel. I was listening to the show before. He's the guy who was pushing those questions that you were talking about in the previous hour. And I don't agree with this guy. He's not the guy I want, portraying the image of alternative media. But he did strike at the root, and he did push the envelope. And he did get the message out, and he did have, I don't know however many tens of thousands of hits on YouTube pushing this. So everybody who is in this, and we come back to why you asked me why I started my show, and that's the reason. If I can change one person, I've done my job, right?
In a very, very altruistic sense of the word.
Right.
What else are we here for? I don't think there's really any higher calling than helping other people, really.
Right. Exactly. And you do it on like I mentioned before, you do it on other levels, helping me out with my buddy and getting me hooked up with Rick Simpson, going back to the beginning of the show there. I mean, There are not a lot of people actually in the truth movement that I agree with, and I never agree with anyone 100%. But there are a couple of people that I would put on a higher moral ground, and you're absolutely one of them, and Jack Blood is another one. which I know you're a big fan of. I've interviewed Jack Blood, and he's a phenomenal guy. And I just commend you, Vinny, for doing what you do. I mean, it's not a low-budget show, but you are on a low budget. And that's what's incredible. I mean, you're pushing a message across that people are listening to, and you're doing it, you know, because you love it. Because you really want to send the message out. And I commend you on that.
Well, I think it's more like I've got the ability to do it, therefore I must, because nobody else is doing it. Not in New Zealand anyway. Not to this extent. So it's got to be done. Somebody has to pave the way. And I just happen to be the one who fell upon the opportunities and took responsibility for it. You know, you look around and you just go, hey, there is an alternative media doing this here. Frack, there's a, you know, you call it a gap in the market, but it's more like being needed, absolutely desperately needed, no matter how bad the quality might be, as long as there's at least something out there. That's what people don't get, is that you can just start off doing something that you will later on regret, and it'll look like crap, sound terrible, or whatever, but then you get better at it, you start learning more, and before you know it, you're really making a difference. But you have to have the confidence in yourself to go out there in the first place, not trying to help yourself, not trying to, you know, line your own pockets or whatever, but actually wanting to help to fulfill a societal need, of which there are many. David Boyle from Conspiracy This Week, thank you very much for coming on the show with me today. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. Very much appreciate your support. Please donate or subscribe at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com.